In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Now, a few months ago, I just happened to turn on the TV, and I believe that the word "happened" is in quotation marks because I'm sure God had me turn on that TV at that point. And some of you might think God would never tell anybody to turn on a TV, but he just might, you know. The love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. Well, my husband and I do have two tiny little TV sets, and they're both in places where you can't sit down to watch them. This one is on my kitchen counter, so I was getting supper, and I turned on the TV, and here was a very earnest-looking man. I had no idea who he was. He was looking straight at the screen, and at the moment I turned it on, he said, "I forgive him." Well, I was astounded to discover that I was watching a very well-known talk show by a very sarcastic host, and somebody in the audience leaped up, a woman in the audience leaped up, and she said, "That's sick." She said, "What they did to you was terrible." She said, "For you to say, 'I forgive them,' is condoning what they did, and you are being a codependent and an enabler," or something like that. You know, those phrases we hear all the time. And so the host said, "So why do you forgive him?" And he said, "Because it's the only thing I can do." Well, then a woman, the same woman, jumped up and she said, "I don't care what you say, that is sick." She said, "There is something wrong with your head. I think you've got a head injury." Well, it turned out that who I was looking at was Reg Denny, a trucker who was beaten in the LA riots, beaten to a pulp, practically. And at this point, to my astonishment again, the host said, in his sarcastic way, he said, "Isn't that what Jesus told his followers to do?" And Reg Denny said, "Yes, that's what he told his followers to do. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's why I did it." He said, "I forgive him." I couldn't believe my eyes that this was on a major talk show. And at that point, a lovely looking woman came onto the screen. And she said, "I want you to know that there's some of us in this room who understand what Mr. Denny is talking about. I am the mother of the man who beat him." And she said, "What my son did was wrong. It was a terrible thing. He deserves to be punished." But she said, in the courtroom, when the judgment was given, she said, "Mr. Denny walked toward me with his hand outstretched." And she said, in 2 seconds, we were in each other's arms. That's love. It's not justice as the world sees it. Love goes way beyond justice. It's a new frame of mind. It is a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new act of creation. Well, at this point, another trucker jumped up and he said, "I want to know why you didn't just keep going in that truck." He said, "You didn't have to stop." He said, "You could have kept right on going." And Reg Denny said, "Yes, I could have. I could have done a lot of damage with 80,000 pounds, but there were people in the street." And the guy said, "Yeah, but you got a club in the cab. I know every trucker's got a club in the cab." He said, "Yes, I have. It's for testing tires. It's not for beating people." So there you have it. Visible Christianity. I had a letter just this week from a man who told me that he'd heard about Christianity and he'd met a lot of people that called themselves Christians. But he said, "I finally met an old guy named Frank Drown." Well, I happen to know that old guy named Frank Drown because he not only was a missionary in Ecuador, but he was the leader of the rescue party that went to search for my husband and the other four men who were killed in 1956. So that old guy named Frank Drown is familiar to me, and what this man told me in his letter was, Frank Drown was the first man I ever knew who did Christianity. A visible demonstration of what it means to belong to Jesus Christ. The test of love is sacrifice. Lay down your life for somebody else. Reg Denny was laying down his right to an apology. I don't know that he'd had an apology from that man. He might have. I didn't hear about it. But we all know what it's like to try to forgive somebody who has done something really bad. It's a sweet thing when somebody comes and says, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." But I would suppose most of the time that doesn't happen, does it? And Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who apologize." Is that what it says? He said, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we have to sacrifice the pleasure of self-vindication, the pleasure of the apology. Now, when I was a little girl, we prayed the Lord's Prayer every single morning in family prayers. That was the closing part of our family prayer. And for years, I guess it never even occurred to me to ask my parents what the word trespasses meant, because I thought I knew. There were little signs on people's lawns that said, "No trespassing." So I thought it meant walking on people's grass. I never walked on anybody's grass. I was an obedient little girl. But I still think about that when I come to no trespassing, because there are times when people have walked all over me. I'm that green lawn. And we all are very protective of ourselves and of our self-image and of being right. And more than once in my life, I couldn't tell you how many times people have said to me, "You always have to be right, don't you?" Well, I know what they meant, but on the other hand, I would like to say, is there anybody that wants to be wrong? You know, I mean, we do want to be right. They were pointing the finger at pride and an insistence on my putting my viewpoint. But if somebody walks all over you, Jesus says, forgive those who trespass against you. And we are asking God to forgive us in the same measure and no more that we are willing to offer to that trespasser. Will that be enough? Are you willing to take the same measure of forgiveness from God for your million sins, or however many there might be on your list, that you're offering to that one person who has perhaps done one terrible thing to you? But that's what the prayer says, isn't it? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we forgive that man who embezzled all the money so that your business went under. As we forgive that person who owed you $10,000 and has no intention of ever paying it. As we forgive that woman who went off with your husband, or that man who went off with your wife. Irremediable things in this life. As we forgive those, all of them. The test of love is sacrifice. The test of love is suffering. Words which modern young people have hardly ever heard, and which plenty of old folks don't want to hear. But I find it from Genesis to Revelation. Suffering. But Jesus links suffering with glory. His word links suffering with glory again and again and again. If you suffer with him, you will also reign with him. Jim Elliot wrote in his journal, "I will not reign. I have not suffered." Well, I think he did before he actually died. But those things are linked, suffering and glory and surrender. You remember Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But if it is not possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. A total, unreserved surrender. Are you willing to surrender that one thing that you really don't want God messing around with? Now, I don't know what it is in your life. There may be some relationship, maybe not a marriage, but something else. And you are determined to stand on your rights and to keep your distance and not to reach out. You know what it is that God might be speaking to you about this morning. I have no idea. Desire is a sure way to destroy our own fulfillment, someone has said. If my attention is on my own good, no union with the other will be possible. Such egocentric concern locks us into the solitude of our own being. If we seek the good of the other, that's love. Parents, what is God asking you to do for those gifts that He has given you in children? Some sacrifice that perhaps you've been resentful about having to make. You singles, do you resent the fact that this is where God has you right now? Young women often come to me and say, I don't think I have the gift of singleness. How do you know if you have the gift of singleness? And I would say, well, are you single today on this particular Saturday? Yes, well, then you have the gift of singleness. That's God's gift. Give us this day our daily bread. Whatever God puts on the platter for today, that is the will of God. We either receive it or we resent it, but we can't necessarily change it. When the earthquake happened in California, I had a letter from a lady whose home was right 1 mile from the epicenter. And she said that when they walked into the house after the quake was over and absolutely everything in the house was smashed, there was a platter on the floor smashed to bits. And they had heard me say just what I've just said now, the day before. Whatever God puts on your platter. And she said her mother picked up the pieces of the platter and she said, well, God has put an earthquake on our platter today and the platter's all smashed, but we're going to thank Him. And they thanked Him. Lars had a phone call from one of the ladies that had been there. We had just been there 2 days before that. And she said every single piece of furniture in their house was turned over and every piece of glass and crockery was smashed to bits. Can you imagine the noise? Just the noise, not to mention what it's like to go back into your house after that. The test of love is sacrifice, suffering, surrender, and service. May God help us to love Him and to learn day by day with the people with whom we associate at work, at home, in the neighborhood, in church, to learn to love them as Christ loved us. This is how we know what love is. It says in 1 John 3:16, Christ laid down His life for us, and we in our turn are to lay down our lives for each other. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.